Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're on live from 1 till 4. After 4 o'clock, you can hear us on the app, the podcast.
No, John will come to your house and do another couple hours. Put in your request. He draws a lucky name every day.
You're right.
You like to drive. You don't mind going like to the Inland Empire or far away to do a show for somebody?
If you make me a cheeseburger, I'll be there.
See? That's all it takes.
That's all it costs.
All right. A lot of news this afternoon. Of course, Harvey Weinstein got 16 more years in prison. Does that mean, because he's already serving time in New York, so when he finishes New York, he has to come out here and serve his time? Is that how they do it?
Yes. If he makes it to the
dead.
If he makes it to the age of 93.
That's when the New York term's over?
Yeah, if he served out the full term,
And then he'd get... New York is like California. They'll think he's old and cut his time way down, probably.
He's in bad physical shape.
He's 70. He's
definitely going to die in prison.
Well, I keep thinking some of it's fake, like, you know... trying to get sympathy from a judge or jury.
But he looks unhealthy.
He always has.
Yeah.
He's a blob.
There's no way that heart could carry all that weight.
No.
Or that
and
long.
That deformed penis.
Yeah, that's right. That thing's going to get infected or somebody in prison's going to take care of it. So if I always
get it mixed up with Epstein when one of the women said, well, I thought it was Inside Out or something like that. I get them mixed up.
Epstein had a problem too.
I know. They both had deformities.
Yeah, and Clinton. All of them.
I remember one woman said she felt sorry when she saw it. It was like, even in the middle of a sex assault. And
it's like,
I saw
them
like, yikes. This poor guy. Wait a minute. He's about to rape me. What the hell?
No wonder you're angry. Wow. Never seen that before. Yeah, so let's see. He'd be 93 and then another 16 years. So he would be in prison until 109.
Cool. Yeah. I'm sure he's going to make it. We'll get a full report in about an hour from KFI News reporter Blake Trolley. Another good time to point out, and the El Segundo Times did put this a bit early in the story, but I like the way it was expressed by staff writer Haley Smith. We're talking about the storm that's coming up here. It was weird this morning. It was raining pretty heavy about 10 a.m. Half an hour later, I got pure sunshine. So I guess it's just like the small beginning wave of whatever's coming in.
Yeah, there's going to be waves of showers.
I closed up all the windows. I thought, this is it. And then
we're all going to die. We're all going to drown.
Storm watch.
Yeah. No, tomorrow. But it tastes Thursday, right? Tomorrow's going to be the bad day.
Yeah, it's an overnight and tomorrow. Yeah. It's going to be bad.
Yeah.
Got that. Still staring.
The wind died down. I don't feel as much wind.
Oh, well, we still have that stupid eucalyptus tree aimed at us.
Oh, I forgot.
Because there's one neighbor who won't cut his tree down. And
have you talked to him?
We have another neighbor has communicated with him, and he says no.
You need a third party, huh?
I called a city inspector, and that guy. Well, when I got a hold of that office, they put it on the schedule, but it was going to be 4 weeks away, and then I haven't heard back from him.
What is the liability there? Do you have any idea that if you have a tree on your property, but it falls over onto your neighbor's property and causes damage, who's on the hook for that?
Interesting you say that.
Oh.
Because insurance companies are arbitrary over what they want to pay.
Oh, the homeowner's stuff? Or
yeah, the homeowner's insurance, right? You'd think it would be the neighbor's homeowner's insurance that would cover our damage because the tree is on their property.
On their property. Right. Yeah. And if they refuse to cut it back,
Well,
if I'm on the jury, yeah.
The tree that hit us, it just happened. Nobody refused to cut it back. It just, these eucalyptus trees shouldn't exist in Southern California to begin with. They have really weak root systems. Hmm. And the soil in this particular spot behind our house is not conducive. But now the other neighbor with the eucalyptus tree, he's been warned. So that's I don't know if that changes the liability coverage or not. But anyway, this one would probably go over hit our bedroom. Probably would slice me in half.
You better sleep in the bunker tonight.
Well, my wife has been sleeping downstairs on any of the windy nights.
Mm. Yeah,
that's smart.
Yeah.
Do you sure have to do with the tree or you?
I was thinking that, Ken.
Need to escape you?
Like, oh, it's a little too windy again, huh?
I don't see it. It's not windy, honey. Oh, no, it is. It is.
Look at that. Tree's bent over.
That's a good excuse.
Blowing so hard.
So the El Segundo Times writer said, and I like the way she wrote this. It almost sounds like we really pulled together and pulled off a feat. The state has already defied forecasts for a dry winter driven by La Nina, when a series of 9 atmospheric river storms pummeled California in January.
Defied?
Like, yeah, we pulled it off together. Wait. We defied the forecast.
A bad prediction by those ninnies with the
those
weather
climatologists
service?
Climatologists, meteorologists.
Those genius climatologists who keep telling us what the weather's going to be 100 years from now, and they can't get it. They can't get it 3 months in advance, whether it's going to be a heavy or wet winter or a dry one.
No, that's why I laughed a month ago, because you were citing some that said it's coming back in mid-February, another round. And I'm like, we're going to believe these people now?
No, I wanted it on the record in case they were wrong again.
Right. They could be right. If, you know,
well, this time
supposedly there's another storm after this for midweek next week. So,
yeah, this is coming from a different direction. This is coming down from the north.
Oh, yeah. And all the experts in this article are saying this is a very unusual circulation.
But
and by the way, they do agree with what you and I have been saying. This has been one of the coldest winters in this part of the country in a long time.
Yeah. I don't need data. I know what I feel when I go outside.
Yeah. No, I know.
And so the global warming crowd has to shut up because we have one of the coldest winters in recent memory. And the drought crowd has to shut up.
The drought crowd.
Yeah.
Well, that'll never happen because they don't like the way you use water.
Yeah, right. Well, then let's argue about that. But don't carry on about climate change causing record droughts. It's like,
right.
You know, be more intelligent and smarter than that and understand the cycles of weather that have been afflicting California since the beginning of time.
There were reports that there was some kind of snow flurries at the Hollywood sign. Did you see that story this morning? But there may have been some flurry activity up there. People weren't sure, but, you know, with the rain that fell early,
some of it mixed in,
looked like snow to people. But one meteorologist said this was rare. If this whole system was pushed a little more off to the east, it probably would have been more of a dry, strong wind event. but it's interacting with the Pacific, and that's why we're going to get the moisture on top of it.
Sucks up all the moisture from the ocean.
And then the next paragraph says it again. Indeed, it was only months ago when the forecasters called for a drier than normal winter, driven largely by La Nina, a climate pattern.
Why doesn't the Times lose those phone numbers of all the forecasters that they call?
Oh, because everybody enjoys predicting and...
Yeah, but it's
thinking
worthless.
About the future and experts and...
I don't enjoy having my time wasted by people who don't know what they're talking about. You know, I could talk to myself if I wanted that conversation.
Yeah. All right, we got more coming up. We got a lot to get to this hour. It did come back around. The idea of going after the oil companies for excessive profits in California, the high gas prices that you're paying, Newsom stood up there and, as usual, you know, said that we're going to go after these oil companies, excessive profits. We're going to take away some of those profits. Well, they're getting their real serious hearings in Sacramento this week. And the response from the legislators who are supposed to be Newsom's minions may be a bit surprising to you. Johnny Ken, KFI, AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Yeah, I heard a rumor. The moist line's coming back tomorrow already. You aware of that rumor?
That's
Friday.
It happens
on Fridays.
It's going to be the moist line, yeah.
It's Friday already. Yeah, leave a message. The iHeartRadio app is a neat and easy way to do it. The microphone icon with the John and Ken page there, or the John and Ken section of the app at KFI. And then use the icon to the microphone icon to leave a message, or call the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. In typical dippity-doo Gavin Newsom fashion a few months ago, he started wagging his finger and doing his period full stop when he says, I'm going after the oil companies. Of course, all the talk for much of last year was about California's obscenely high gasoline prices, well above what people paid in the rest of the country, even though they were seeing increases too. We were seeing numbers that have just never been seen before. They eventually went down, the gas prices, so a lot of the chatter stopped. But before that happened, Newsom called for a special session of the legislature in December to talk about excessive oil company profits. And we've got to do something about that. Well, this week, it has finally come around to actual hearings in the state Senate in Sacramento. And we've told you, with the Communist Party, the idea of planned economies, they already passed a bill where they're going to set the wages and benefits for fast food companies. That got halted by the courts until we vote on it. They've also passed a bill where they're going to decide what can be said about COVID-19, particularly among physicians. And now they actually wanted to cap the oil company profit margins. That was the idea behind the bill that's being discussed in Sacramento.
This is total government control of all industries.
It is. And they don't have a clue what they're doing. In fact,
no.
One of the articles I'm looking at in Politico says, we need more information. We don't really know how this works.
Well,
I love the quote from one state senator, Dave Min. He's a Democrat from Irvine. There's a belief out there that oil companies were profiting off the backs of Californians, but we don't really have a smoking gun, as far as I can see, that shows intentional collusion.
You mean proof?
Yeah. Remember that judge made that decision some time ago? They've done this time and time again for years, investigating the oil companies as to whether or not they're colluding or they're up to something.
If they're
time and time again, they end up with a zero.
If they're colluding, they're doing a hell of a job, because no industry in California has been investigated more times than the oil industry over the same issue, high prices. Now, this past year, you've got the extra $1.25 in California taxes. Some analysts say it's actually $1.50.
50, yeah.
Because some of it is hidden taxes that are passed along. So let's go with a $1.50. At the height of the price issue last year, it was $2.60. So where'd that extra $1.10 come from? And nobody knows. And they have been chasing this mystery surcharge since at least 2015. The size of the mystery surcharge inflates and deflates. You know, often they'll say, maybe it's 20 cents.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, you know, it was $1.10 during the summer. And you've had all these professors and researchers and analysts look at it, and they don't know. Because they said the oil refineries, the oil companies that pump out the oil, they're only one piece of the puzzle. The oil then has to get refined. It then has to be distributed. Then it is sold by retail gas stations. And all along the way, additions to the price are made. Now, why would all the companies in California have the same price increase, mystery price increase? How come competition doesn't? If there is like some fat, some room in there to cut, normally one company would say, okay, ours is going to be 10 cents less or 20 cents less, and we'll make it up on volume. Right. We'll have long lines at our stations. That's not happening. That's why some of these bozos are saying, well, it must be collusion. Well, then how are they doing it? If you collude, you got to communicate with each other. So there's got to be phone records, texts, memos.
How many emails. Times have we been over this? The policies of California have been against the oil companies. So the oil companies have kind of cut back. How many times have we told you the drop in the number of refineries over the last several decades? This is going to lead to a smaller supply. But whatever they can sell, yeah, that drives up the price when you have a smaller supply. So they're going to make pretty good profits off of it. It's really pretty simple, but it's all done on purpose. That's what they don't tell you in Sacramento. Newsom doesn't tell you that. None of them tell you that.
And they
want you out of your gas-powered car. And this really doesn't bother them, but they have to look like they're doing something for people. Another legislature said, I like this one, well, this could have unintended consequences. And I said, yeah, duh, even higher gas prices, right? If you start taxing the windfall profits of the oil companies, they're going to try to make some of that back.
If you tax the profits, say, by 10%, that 10% is going to be at the pump. Because all the oil companies that serve California are going to be taxed in the same proportionate way. So you will drive up the price. It's a circle. It's ridiculous. And they are banking on the ignorance of the public. And the public is to blame because they're so ignorant. They do polling. It's like, well, you know, 60% of California would love to do a surcharge tax on the oil companies. You know, surplus profits. Well, you don't know that they are engaging in any kind of gouging. And you have no way of finding out. You are just primed to hate the oil companies. But I don't understand hatred of oil companies. Oil companies, gas companies are great. Look what happens when the price of energy goes up too far, too quickly. People start to cut back their usage. What happens? Now they're cold in their home, or they're too hot in their home, or they can't drive as much as they want. So I understand being upset about the prices, but there's an innate anger at oil companies for existing. And that's ridiculous. You cannot have modern life without burning fossil fuels. We will never have modern life without burning fossil fuels. It will just simply never happen. And I get so tired of these people who live in these imaginary worlds. It's no such thing.
What I sense is they're going through the motions because Newsom called for this. He made a big public display of this. So they're going to have their hearings, but they're not going to do anything. In fact, yesterday he appeared at a Tesla event and didn't even mention the hearings. He's not going to testify at these. Sometimes governors do show up and put their two cents in because they want something passed.
He doesn't know.
He did this to once again raise his profile nationally because this was all the talk last fall. High gas prices, particularly California gas prices. And now it's not quite the talk anymore, so he doesn't care. He's moved on. There's another shiny object.
He's a preening virtue signal. Do you think he knows how oil is extracted from the ground and how it's processed and refined and how it's shipped? Do you think he knows anything about it?
No.
Most of these guys don't even understand how a fast food joint runs. Otherwise, they never would have mandated that commission with the high salaries guaranteed to employees. If you don't know how a McDonald's is run, I don't think you're going to handle Exxon. They have no interest in this. Most of these are not business people, especially on the Democrat side.
Yeah, there was even somebody that testified yesterday and said, well, you know, you may want to look at other parts of the supply chain, not just the refineries, but you got the gas stations themselves who could play a larger role in prices. Mm-hmm. And look who else piped up. Severin Borenstein, who I guess last time we had him on the show, he hung up. He's the UC Berkeley professor. He's a part of the state's power grid operator. He's the one that has come up with this mystery gasoline surcharge
for 8 years.
Over the years,
right? Okay, yeah, but I could. Anybody else could have told you that. All you have to do is look at the price of gas in all the other states. It's online, and you see California is way above everyone else. So we all know he doesn't have any special information. His job now for 8 years has been failing to explain it.
Yeah.
All his research, all his expertise, is it really that hard?
Now they're talking about, it's complex. There's contracts between refiners and retailers.
Okay, well,
there's other details in this. Now we need to study this closer. So what they're trying to do is they're going to punt. They're going to kick this down the road and say, we need more study, and they can get rid of this.
They've never done anything because they can't find. Well, if the oil companies are doing something, they can't find it. So that means the oil company executives are much smarter than the legislators. There's a surprise.
If you operate in a place where your product's not welcome, are you really going to go out of your way to expand the product more to supply?
No. And it's a supply problem that we have.
All right. We got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app. Oh, yeah. We got a lot to get to, of course. We'll get to the Harvey Weinstein sentencing, which came down this afternoon. Blake Trolley will have that for us after 2 o'clock. In the next segment, we're going to talk about why so many men in their 20s are choosing to be single. Yeah, it has something to do with the stuff that's online that they can enjoy themselves with. But there's more to it than that.
A whole generation of incels.
Yeah, I guess kind of, although that term is involuntarily celibate. It sounds like some of these men surveyed are content with pledging themselves to porn and otherwise video games.
They don't have to talk to women. That's the goal of many men, to get the pleasure without actually talking.
Right. Right. Yeah. Even though you discovered yesterday that, did you say Coke products increase your testosterone and...
And testicles, yes.
And your testicles.
I just saw another article.
Did you do a double dosing today?
Huh? I only had one small can. Usually I have the big 20-ounce. But I'm
gonna, look at that.
I got a bottle in my bag here.
Oh,
so
my God,
I'm going to bulk myself up later.
I can't figure out how that study makes sense. And you're sure it isn't just random that they studied all these Coke drinkers and they noticed?
I don't know. I didn't do the study.
I know.
It's just, how can you resist that headline, right? Somebody made a study. It's like, look at that. Coke gives you big testicles. Yeah, right. Front of the New York Post.
The bubbles, you think? The carbonation?
If you listen closely, you can hear the crackling.
Your testicles get you bubbly. All right. Well, we've talked about this story in the past when it came to ousting the Los Angeles County District Attorney George Gascon, which, of course, did not happen in a failed recall attempt last year. I don't know where that is now. Remember, they were challenging that?
Yeah, they were going to court and they were demanding a big investigation, and everybody's gone silent for months now.
Yeah, because they were claiming that the registrar was not really letting them see the whole process and was trying to hide what they were doing, but
which I'm sure is true, but I don't know what they're doing about it.
I know, because it'll just be about a year and 10 months from now we'll be voting on Gascon again. He's up for re-election November 2024, and I'm sure he'll run again. Well, one of the cases involved a teenager who shot to death his 16-year-old girlfriend and her sister. And then set the apartment on fire. This happened in 2018 in the Westchester neighborhood of Los Angeles. And the back and forth here was whether or not to try him as an adult. Now, apparently they passed legislation in Sacramento in 2022 to raise the bar to make it much more difficult to try juveniles as adults. Again, this is all part of the desire to make sure that nobody ends up in prison, nobody ends up in jail. So let's figure out another way to shut a door.
Yeah.
And one of those doors was, let's put more juveniles in the juvenile system, no matter how heinous the crime, so they just get one of those camp sentences, and they're done by 24.
And this guy, who the LA Times will not publish his name, cowards, he was 17 years old and 11 months at the time he did the killings. Now, this was a Jackie Lacey case for a good long time because he was arrested in 2018. And Jackie Lacey served as the DA until December 2020. So there was plenty of time to prosecute him. Yeah. I don't know what happened here. But they didn't it's called a transfer motion where you transfer a juvenile to adult court. And you have to convince a judge that He needs to be tried as an adult. And I don't know. She sat on it for 2 years.
Yeah, it was 16-year-old Sierra Brown and her sister, Eunice Atkins, who were murdered by this person who was a month short of being 18. You're right. They initially sought to charge him as an adult, but a transfer motion was not heard by the time Gascon took over from Lacey. So that case was left on his desk, and he decided that he was going to have this special committee because of all the blowback over his policies, one of which was he really doesn't like to go hard on juveniles. He thinks he made this long. These studies show that the brain is undeveloped and they don't know what they're doing. So, I mean, and what was really chilling about this story, because I had not seen this before, but apparently a deputy DA by the name of Courtney Dyer said that, well, in these killings, this teen, 1 month short of 18 years old, showed sophistication. He may have used a pillow as a silencer when he shot them to death, and he thought of the idea to set a fire to try to hide the evidence. See, to me, you've heard me talk about there is pure evil out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why you should only look at the result here. You could do a research study, a classroom, a project to try to find out what in the brain makes someone kill, but that should have nothing to do with his sentence. The sentence should be death, preferably, or life in prison at minimum, and exactly how his brain got him there to the killing is kind of a fun parlor game to play, but it should have no relevance on the sentencing. But the judge fully went into trying to analyze how this guy's brain functions.
Yeah, we'll give you the sad side of that. So according to Courtney Dyer, he also arrived at the scene of the fire hours later and pretended to mourn them, and then gave false leads to detectives.
Well, he must have been an obvious suspect right away. Showing up at the fire and volunteering information to the detectives. Like, the detectives know a guy who does that is probably the one who committed the crimes.
She said that in 4 years in juvenile confinement, he's shown no changes in his behavior. Three parents have lost their daughters. Three children have lost their mothers. There's a five-year-old who said she wanted to go to heaven to be with her mother. Of course, they tried to argue that he showed marked improvement, that he'd been smoking marijuana on a daily basis from the age of 12, that he's responding well to services and education.
What do you mean?
I mentioned, all of this is because a bill passed in 2022 requires prosecutors to prove by clear and convincing evidence that the juvenile would not be amenable to rehab in juvenile custody. And I guess the judge decided that they couldn't prove it.
Well,
so he's
here's
keeping
the thing.
This kid in the juvenile system.
Here's
this
the trick.
Kid, he's now 20.
And this is the trick the legislators play. They say, oh, no, you can try a teenager on adult crimes. You just have to meet the standards. And the standards are so high or so complex that it rarely happens in real life. And that's the trick they play. Because you'll say, you're just letting everybody out of prison, right? You won't prosecute anybody. Oh, no, that's not true. We actually have a procedure so you can prosecute teenagers if necessary. And then you go through the details, and it's like, well, it's in practicality, it's impossible.
Right.
Because if you can't try this guy as an adult, he's a month short of 18, and he kills these two girls and then sets the house on fire.
That's evil.
That's evil.
You're looking at someone vicious. Who's probably going to do this again when you release him.
Of course,
this should be someone who should be locked up for the rest of his natural life. There's really no question about it.
Now, this judge here, J. Christopher Smith, is an LA County Superior Court judge. Listen to him twist himself into a pretzel as to why he's not going to prosecute this guy.
In the adult system.
As an adult, Smith said the prosecutors failed to put forth any evidence of what the teen's rehabilitative needs were. What evidence of what the killer needs to rehabilitate? Well, there isn't anything that's going to rehabilitate him because he's a psychotic. And Judge Smith said the teen had cognitive abnormalities in his frontal lobe, an IQ low enough to raise questions about his intellectual function when he was first taken into custody. Well, what does that matter? That's all the more reason to lock him up. If he's got a damaged frontal lobe and such a low IQ that he doesn't really understand the significance of his actions, why would you want that running around the streets?
The probation officer wrote a report suggesting this teen should be tried as an adult, but the judge swayed that aside too. You ignored his cognitive issues.
So the judge is another one of these guys, okay? They're all progressives. They're always going to find a reason to let a kid go. They're always going to. They'll make it sound complicated, like they've done thorough analysis. The truth is, it's a preordained decision.
So if I'm correct, going through the juvenile system, this murderer will be out when he's 25.
Yeah.
He's already, I think, 22, right? This happened in 2018 when he was just short of 18 years old.
Yes. So. So he will be out within a few years. Yeah. His defense attorney said he only reads at a fourth grade level. Well, that's hundreds of thousands of LAUSD students.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that only
after they graduate.
Grade.
Yeah,
they're fourth grade murderers.
Fourth grade level is standard these days, so I don't know why that's got.
All right, more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640 live everywhere. The iHeartRadio app. Top trending video today is this 85-year-old woman walking her dog in Florida. Have you seen it? She's up against one of these little lakes, swamps that they have there, and an alligator just comes pouncing out of the water. Grabs the dog and eventually kills the woman, too.
Is that the whole thing on video?
No. All they're showing is the moment the alligator pounces out of the water.
I know.
They will not show her get attacked.
They freeze the frame.
So you're watching the same. She takes two steps and here comes the alligator.
I heard about that.
Why would you want to see that? I mean, seriously.
I don't want to see it, but.
10 foot long. Who took this footage? Inside Edition obtained it. Woman's name was Gloria Surge.
Security camera?
Yeah, it looks like house security cameras.
Oh, it might be. You're right.
Backyard.
Yeah. My parents used to live in one of these places where this is a retirement community called Spanish Lakes Fairways. Matter of fact, Fort Pierce isn't far from where my parents used to live. And they had like a view of a little lake out their backyard. And they did have alligators too. I mean, Florida is full of them.
The alligators live on the side of the road. Here's something to be terrified of, Deborah.
What?
They're on the side of the road in ditches. You know, any trenches or puddles along the edge.
I would never live in Florida just because of that.
No, there was in a neighborhood near where my in-laws lived. There was a new development going up. My wife and I went to look, and some of the homes were right across from the pond. And we were debating back and forth: would you buy the house across the street from a pond? Because That's exactly where alligators will live, and you can't see them until the moment you walk by, da-da-da-da-da, and then suddenly rising out, and they move fast. They move incredibly fast.
They are incredibly quick, right?
There's a state park that we go to down near Sarasota called Myakka Park, and you can see the alligators there. They're sunning themselves on rocks. They're just bobbing around in the water. When one of them gets going, though, you can't believe the speed. And then they can leap, and they open their jaws really wide, and one bite. Like you, Deborah, definitely you're a one bite.
I can't even imagine. Yeah.
She should have let the dog go. Apparently she tried to save the dog, so it pulled her underwater, too.
Well, she didn't think she was going to be eaten by the alligator. I applaud her for trying to save the dog.
No.
Well,
I do not applaud
her. I tried to put myself in that position.
You've got to make a rational decision.
I wouldn't be rational.
You cannot outfight an alligator.
But I don't think you think of that at the time.
You can always get another dog.
Oh, God, no. That's
terrible. You're out of your mind, Deborah Mark. This is how you're going down.
Ken, I'm saying that if I'm in that situation in the moment, my first impulse would be to try and save my dog. I wouldn't think about all the ramifications of
there won't be much left of her. Once the alligator gets her in the jaws, but it could chomp her down into bits. You're not saving anything.
Well, I think that dog got away.
See, irrational
no,
people.
No, it didn't. She tried to get away.
See, the irrational gene ends up dying out because irrational people don't live long, right? Yeah. And rational people, they will continue to...
I'm ready for that exit bag on a daily basis. So.
You could see the alligator coming for like 10 seconds. She should have just picked the dog up and run.
She's in her 80s.
Oh, run as fast as you can, I guess. I don't know.
That's
But if you watch the video, she's literally staring at this alligator going for 10 seconds.
Okay, well, maybe that wasn't the smartest thing to do.
Well, they're common, so they don't always do this. So some people down there take a passive approach. They don't think alligators are going to
necessarily... Oh, they're wrong.
Well,
you're playing roulette.
They caught this one. I don't know what they're going to do with it. I see it's all tied up here. They caught
the little arms are behind his back. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, it does look like
what are they going to question? Car chase. Question him? She was... food,
I don't know if they're gonna, are they going to euthanize it or just remove it to take it somewhere.
Well, get them out of the neighborhood. Community. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's a barbecue.
I had alligator.
You did?
Yeah.
You really ate alligator?
Well, I mean, not raw out of the pond, but yeah, this restaurant we were at was serving it. It was like a lunch sandwich.
Oh, God. That is disgusting.
No, it wasn't disgusting. I don't know what it was.
What did it taste like?
I don't know.
Chicken.
Everything tastes like chicken.
I don't remember it having a particular taste. Like there was nothing distinctive about it.
I can't, even if I wasn't a vegan, I would never, ever, ever eat alligator. Oh my God.
Well, the alligator's very happy to eat you.
I'm sure.
That's the,
well, it's not going to get a chance.
And you would sit there in his stomach probably for a while. You might even still be conscious.
So
you'd be
gross,
looking the inside.
All right. Well, about 63% of 18 to 29-year-old men reported being alone in 2022. That's a big increase from just a few years earlier. Only 34% of women in the same age group reported being single. How does that work, then? How do they pair off?
Women marry older guys.
It's not just being married. It's being in a relationship.
Yeah, but they're attracted to older guys. They move
like
10 in.
10 years older?
Yeah. Because those guys are settled. They're in their career. They're making some money. They offer a good life. Most women are not interested in guys their own age, especially when you're in your early, mid-20s, even late 20s, because guys are goofs. They're idiots.
Yeah, well.
Guys just want to go out drinking and screw around. And they're not married. No man should get married before 30.
It's not about marriage. It's about relationships. And this story is wondering why a lot of these men are not bound to anybody or anything. They're not even dating. So instead, a lot of them are just watching porn.
Because
that seems to satisfy them.
Women generally want to get married. Women generally don't want to waste time with a guy who's not serious.
Right.
So,
but a lot of women aren't getting married in their 20s either anymore. That's all moved.
Yeah, I understand it's all moved, but they want a committed relationship. Most women do. And men don't, and they're not capable of it in their 20s. There isn't much difference between like a 26-year-old guy and a 17-year-old guy. Your frontal, it's like what Gascon says, your frontal lobe hasn't developed.
Yeah, but I think there's something bigger happening here. Those are the standard things that we've known for years. Now, a lot of the men are not reporting any close relationships. That's plunged by half since 1990. And the number that says they don't have any close relationships at all or friendships went up to 15% of men in their 20s. I think because of the lockdown, too, and everything, men found that easier to adjust to. And now they're just living a world, particularly this age group, where they're just completely isolated from everybody.
This age group, my kids have told me that in college, they teach that men, especially white men, are dirt.
They teach that?
Yes.
There's a class?
Yes.
White men are dirt?
No. Like you go to an English class, right? All the reading assignments are how awful men are and how women are constantly oppressed by men.
Patriarchy. What is the name of this? What?
Patriarchy.
Yeah, the patriarchy.
There's a class in this?
No. It permeates all the classes. History is about men oppressing. English. It's about novels that demonstrate how men oppress. One of my sons told me that virtually everything he got in English class, senior year of high school, centered around that.
Huh.
Teachers teach with a slant.
Yeah. It's part of the woke propaganda you hear about. It's real. It's not some kind of right-wing fiction.
I experienced it.
Yeah.
All right. We got more coming up. We'll talk about Harvey Weinstein being sentenced to 16 years in prison. That's next with Blake Trolley, KFI AM 640 live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
Deborah Mark live, the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.